This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Malaysia Airlines CEO Captain Izham Ismail has objected to the idea of shutting down the national airline, and his objections were on the grounds that this would incur a higher cost and also impact its employees, which number around 14,000. Now, he made his statements to the Malaysian press during the 75th International Air Transport Association AGM, and he said that he believes by shutting down the flag carrier, this would also affect those in the supply chain, like suppliers, vendors and aircraft leases.
And Ismail actually is open to actually some investments from investors to contribute in helping to turn around the carrier. He says that investment would not just provide the financial support, but also introduce a new culture. We could serve as a guidance for Malaysia Airlines combating the future market. I guess he is taking that page from Proton, which has introduced Geely as a partner, or rather a major shareholder, 49%, I think. And since that time, DRB Highcom and Proton has done pretty well.
Yeah, the current situation with MAS has been a difficult one. It has been through many rounds of restructuring. In fact, there was news that they were actually going to list 2 years ago, but I think that news has died down. And they've also had a revolving door of CEOs, mm-hmm. right? So now Khazanah, I think, is relooking at the long-term business plans of MAS. As it's the current only shareholder. It's just that the airline business is an extremely, extremely difficult one.
Yes.
There are many variables that you as an airline cannot control, one of which is oil price, not determined by you. Secondly, of course, is your passenger growth. That depends on the economic situation. And if there's a natural disaster, that can also just blow your plans away. So they always say airlines business is extremely tough, and it's true.
And the management of landing rights is also very political, right?
Yeah, because very often that it's a G2G negotiation. And you might want landing rights to a particular place or a particular country. But you do need your government very often to negotiate this for you. And sometimes that's difficult. For example, certain landing routes like London is very hard to come by because it's so congested. So even though that route can be very popular and you can do extremely well, the yield is very high, like let's say from Kuala Lumpur to London, you cannot have maybe more than 3 flights a day because that's just all the available routes at this current juncture.
Now, you mentioned national disasters, Shaoning, and I guess it does, but I guess it also doesn't take a natural disaster to throw a spanner in the works of an airline industry, because just take a look at the fact that we've had two fatal crashes in the last year, and Malaysia Airlines is also actually reviewing its $2.75 billion purchase order of 25 Boeing 737 MAX jets. That's in the wake of those two crashes, which led to the worldwide grounding of the plane. Now, MAS is still contemplating the decision, but it still requires assurances from Boeing as well with regards to the safety of the plane before they can proceed further. Now, this is in 2016, Malaysia Airlines agreed to buy 25 737 MAX 8 jets from Boeing with an option to double the order, but none of these planes have been delivered yet.
And meanwhile, Japan Airlines also may want to expand a joint venture with Malaysia Airlines to cover US flights and other Asian routes in the future. An MOU for the JV on Malaysia and Japan flights was signed by both parties just at the end of May. JAL itself undertook a successful turnaround after entering into bankruptcy in 2010. So they may be able to provide some lessons here for Malaysia Airlines.
All these airline alliances have been the way to go right forward. Mm. You have Oneworld, you have the one with SIA, which escapes my mind. And that is a way to basically cut costs because you don't need all the same airlines flying in the same to the same mm-hmm. route. Mm-hmm. But for Malaysia, we've cut routes significantly in the last few years. Actually, our only European destination at the moment is London. We only fly to one destination, New Zealand. And the furthest we fly to in Asia is, of course, Japan. But people want connectivity around the world. So tie up with Japan does make sense.
So Japan Airlines. I think going back to the MAS CEO's statement about whether MAS should be shut down or not, I think we can take an example of AirAsia. I mean, AirAsia was built literally from the ground up, and today it's become a very successful company. Mm-hmm. In fact, very much a force to be reckoned with in the budget travel world. And then we also have the example of Proton as well, of course. But with Malaysia Airlines, I mean, the country has spent so much money on Malaysia Airlines, we're talking tens of billions of ringgit, then the question remains, is there any justification in the CEO's statement?
there's a little bit of issue with regards to masks because there is this social obligation that many people don't realise, one of which is to connect some of the smaller cities in East Malaysia, which definitely will never be profitable, but you do need that connectivity. So in some way, that is part of the issue that masks has to subsidise these routes.
And I guess there's also the nostalgia factor, right? Because when you've got a national flag carrier like Malaysia Airlines that has seen very great days in its past, people are reluctant to see that brand go to waste, essentially, if you shut it down, because this is how countries put their mark on the world by sending their flag carriers out to different countries around the world.
And you're competing with very unusual airlines in the last few years, one of which is the Middle Eastern Airlines. So the rise of the likes of Qatar, Emirates, right? And they are just really fueled by extremely cheap, what was very high oil prices in those days, and governments in those countries which wanted to boost a domestic economy. And they said, okay, airlines are the way to go. And they subsidized these airlines fantastically. So when you go to the Middle East, you go to Dubai, you go to the airport, you take Emirates, you're in shock. You know, the hardware is on a different level.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that they're also strategically located, they're right in the center of the world, which would make their footprint a lot bigger. You know, they can launch into any destination from those parts of the world.
Exactly. So even the likes of like the Alliance, which I forgot the name, which is called
Star Alliance.
They find it hard to compete with the likes of these Middle Eastern guys, which have big wallets. But in recent years, if you see some of the results coming out of, let's say, Qatar and Emirates, it hasn't been so good because oil prices are low, actually.
Now, aside from that, another company that has also been in the news today is DRB Highcom. Since they posted their first full-year operating profit in 3 years for the financial year ended March, and they've managed to stage a major turnaround in their operations and are expected to deliver a satisfactory performance for its 2020 financial year. They posted operating profits of 342 million ringgit for its 2019 financial year.
That's right. This was a clear difference from the operating loss of 817 million ringgit that was seen last year. And this excludes the 1.1 billion ringgit research and development grant that's given by the government.
The fourth quarter performance, of course, was driven by the very popular Proton X 70 SUV. That is Malaysia's best-selling SUV at the current juncture. The group's automotive sector, as a result, of course, the revenue increased to 7.4 billion ringgit. And they've received 30,000 orders for this X70 and another 14,000 have been delivered already.
So, yeah, it's going to be quite interesting. DRB Highcom's services sector also reported almost 4.6 billion ringgit in revenue. So that's higher than the revenue reported for the last financial year. But in spite of pressures on the postal services as a group, because they do own Post Malaysia, don't they?
Yes, and as we know, traditional mail is unfortunately declining. E-commerce is rising. So for them, Post Laju has done well. But Post Laju faces a lot of competition. If we notice, right, we have the likes of Ninja Van and all these delivery guys. So it's a competitive field while traditional mail keeps coming down. And this is another business where there is a societal obligation. You need to continue to have the same number of post offices. You cannot cut it. And you need mail to be delivered at this current juncture every day.
So we seem to have a transport theme going because we've discussed Malaysia Airlines and also DRB Highcom, which owns Proton. We'll be coming right back to you after the 8 o'clock news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.